on this week's broadcast of Peace to Live By.
With our flesh alone, we cannot serve God. If we choose to follow our flesh and our lives without the Holy Spirit's input, we cannot live the life that God wants us to live.
Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. The weekly radio program Peace to Live By features Bible teacher Daniel Litton and is found online at peacetoliveby.org. The mission of the broadcast is to give firm foundations of clear biblical truth and to share the truth with those who are not in a personal relationship with Jesus yet. Now, let's listen to today's message.
We come today to the second half of Romans chapter 7 in our study of the book of Romans. Today will be the final message before the holiday break, and we will resume in the middle of January with Romans chapter 8. I know, a lot of you are looking forward to chapter 8, as am I. Nevertheless, this will give us something to look forward to in January when Christmas is over, the gray clouds have settled in, and our favorite NFL team has been eliminated from the playoffs. Fear not, you will then have Romans chapter 8. So, turn in your Bibles or tap in your Bible apps on your mobile devices. Whip out that smartphone and let's get going to Romans chapter 7. We are picking up in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. Here is the beginning of the familiar section of Scripture in which Paul talks about his current condition as a believer. As one who is a new creation, already sanctified by Jesus. We as believers in Jesus are no longer in the flesh. I think the best way to understand this is to think of ownership. Our flesh no longer owns us. It no longer calls the shots for us. In our new state as Christians, then, we are owner over the flesh. We can call the shots. We can still let sin reign over us if we want to, if we allow it, but we are not a slave to sin any longer. We as Christians are still of the flesh, and that we still live, we still reside, and our fleshly bodies, which still contains the sin nature. It's just that the sin nature is not in full control anymore unless we let it be. We don't lose that part of us until we die or are raptured, one or the other. That part, then, is sold under sin. But our entire personhood is not sold under sin, not our new creation, just our flesh, just the part which is our flesh. Next, Paul says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do not do what I want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Paul moves here to discussing how he still struggles with sin within his flesh, how he still has to deal with the sin nature inside of him, which is the same struggle that all of us, as born-again believers, face in our lives. It is the experience of every one of us. At the core of what Paul is stating here, I believe, is the fact that we cannot be perfect, no matter how hard we try. We can be legalistic we can apply all the rules. But what will that do? That will just cause sin to increase more and more. The reality is, you cannot be perfect. I cannot be perfect. The church member cannot be perfect. The preacher cannot be perfect. The politician will make mistakes. A police officer will make mistakes. The judge will make mistakes. None of us can be perfect, no matter who we are, no matter what our occupations are, no matter how hard we try. You cannot be flawless in your relationship with your husband or wife. The same is true with your children. Friends fail friends. A boyfriend doesn't always treat his girlfriend perfectly. I think you get the point. And even if we could pull off perfection in every area of life, people would still get upset with us because they themselves are flawed. People have different expectations from us based on their own personal experiences. You ever think about that? Some people just aren't pleased, no matter what we do or how perfect we try to perform. Now, I could go all high horse here and say, I, Daniel Litton, as a preacher of God's word, have mastered most areas of the Christian life, but that would be a lie. I think the problem with many brothers and sisters in coming to this passage here in Romans chapter 7 is a prideful problem. Christians oftentimes don't want to admit they are still sinners, that they still struggle with sin. All of us, if we are honest with ourselves, would have to admit that we still struggle with the sin nature. I know I struggle with it, and yet I am called by God to preach and teach His word. I have to depend, just like you do, on God's grace and enablement by the Spirit to accomplish what He wants me to accomplish for the kingdom. I have to depend on God. I think this is at the folly of one of the current movements we have seen in our society, which we have come to know as the Me Too movement. For starters, the Bible says that women are just as much offenders as men. Let's get that out of the way. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verses 22 and 23. Paul doesn't say, for there is a distinction, for only men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, the basic premise of the movement is flawed. To say otherwise would be to go against God, to go against Scripture. In the same breath, we know there are some males out there who have been particularly offensive in the area of sexual immorality. And those who are greatly offensive and are a danger to women should be brought to trial. There's no doubt about that. The problem is that all men, and even all women, have not been perfect in the areas of political correctness and relating to the opposite sex, whether that be internally or externally, or both. All this being said, as a final point in this area, we should not and cannot have a wrong view of ourselves in Christ if we want to be successful over sin in our lives. And this is a common problem for folks. It's a common issue for the Christian deists I've been talking about throughout this series. After we have been born again, once we have come to the realization of our own personal sinfulness, if we continue to see ourselves as pathetic sinners in Christ, then guess what? We are going to continue to struggle with sin. Sinful habits aren't going to go away for us. And why is this? Because how we see ourselves in Christ is very significant and consequential. And notice I said, in Christ. In other words, what we believe about ourselves is what we become. Regardless, we understand that at the moment we are making a choice, whatever it is, two opposing sides exist. It all plays out in our minds. It's like the old cartoons where there would be an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other. As Paul said, "So, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Sometimes Christians follow the wrong angel, the demonic one, and they find themselves going against God's law. They find themselves in sin. Because of our sin natures, and because the opposing option is available to us, occasionally we pick and choose that opposing option, the one that's against what God has said. That's our sin nature. At times, we follow that sin nature reluctantly, even though we know we shouldn't. Other times, we follow it deliberately, even when we know what we are doing is wrong. Two things happen at the moment we make the wrong choice, when we choose to sin. First, when we do wrong and then feel bad for it, we show that we agree with what God has said. After all, we've identified whatever incorrect action we have done as sin. We feel bad, coming to understand that we have sinned, and then we confess that sin with our mouths, showing that we agree with God's law, whether we just confess it to God or whether we confess it to others. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says the following in talking to Timothy. "Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their mothers and fathers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, with which I have been entrusted." 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 8 through 11. So, what was the Jewish law's purpose? It was to show people their sin, as Paul said earlier in this very book of Romans. This also means that the righteous person is never to live by any law system and their lives. Yes, you have that right. Can you bring to mind any brothers or sisters who try to live under a law system they have created? Are you trying to do that today? Paul's got bad news for you. A series of laws cannot help a righteous person, a believer, one who has been born again. It can only help an unrighteous person by showing them where their sin is. That's what he just told Timothy in saying, the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient. Continuing along, verse 17 of Romans 7. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Before we break this section down, I want to paraphrase what I believe Paul is saying here so that you can understand where I am coming from. Here it goes. If we follow sin in our lives, sin will have its way in us. For I know that nothing good dwells within me alone, that is, in my flesh alone by itself. For I have the desire to do what is right in my mind, but not the ability to carry it out with my flesh alone. For I do not do the good I want when I try alone to do good things, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, the sin that I do not want to do in my mind, but I do it anyway. It is no longer under my power that I am doing it, but I have given myself over to sin's power. I hope that helps you see how I am reading this passage. As new creations in Christ, it's as if we have both sides of the coin now. We are a new creation in Christ, but we also still have the sin nature. We have both. The unbeliever has only the sin nature. He or she is not a new creation. Therefore, he or she is powerless when it comes to pleasing God. The person couldn't be pleasing to God, no matter how hard they tried. They are powerless to do what is right in his sight. Nevertheless, how are we as Christians to get the power to do what is right? Do we get it from our flesh? No, our flesh cannot produce the results we want. Where do we get our help then? We have to rely on the Holy Spirit, on his enablement, on his power, his empowering of us with his grace in order to do what is right. I think most of us haven't come to understand this, yet this is the most important paragraph of this sermon. Paul said, now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. If we choose to sin as Christians over doing what is right, we are giving ourselves over to sin's power. If we choose to follow our flesh and our lives without the Holy Spirit's input, we cannot live the life that God wants us to live. Following our flesh is not just following obvious sins outwardly, but following our flesh is also just that, living without God's power. With our flesh alone, we cannot serve God. We can follow the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives in conjunction with our knowledge of the Word of God, or we can just follow what we think the Word of God is telling us with no input from the Holy Spirit. These are the two choices for the Christian. Let me tell you a little secret, and this is going to cause some blowouts for many of you out there. I'm about to dynamite your whole philosophy of Christian living. We, as Christians, are not supposed to live by trying harder. We aren't supposed to live by our own efforts and keeping a certain set of rules. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." John chapter 15 and verse 4. You see, a branch cannot bear fruit by trying to bear that fruit itself. It just can't do it, no matter what. It doesn't have the capacity in and of itself. It is by the branch's connection to the vine that it can grow and bear fruit. In the same way, it is by our own personal connections with the Spirit of Jesus that we have our fellowship with Him and can actually bear fruit. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. John 6:63. The branch doesn't make a list of rules and regulations in order to bear its fruit. It depends on the nourishment from the vine. Then Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." It is by our depending on Jesus, on His power, that we bear much fruit in our own personal lives and in our own ministry. It is the only way we can bear fruit, as Jesus just said, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am." After accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we then, in becoming a new creation, were implanted with the desire to do what is right. We had a new desire to please God, to follow goodness in our lives. But we get to make the choice on how we will accomplish this goodness that we now desire, on what route we will take. There are two choices. We must decide daily to operate in this desire with the Spirit of God's enablement. Living under grace means we are able to carry out what is pleasing to God because we are following the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Having said all this, don't misunderstand me. Rules can be good in our lives as Christians. They definitely are good, but they will not stop the indulgence of the flesh. In other words, creating rules won't make us less sinful or less sin-filled. The only way we move away from sin or keep our sin nature at bay, if you will, is by fellowshipping with God in our lives, abiding in Jesus, by spending regular time with Him, growing closer to Him, which lets His life flow out through us by the Spirit. And guess what? We don't have to have gone through our day perfectly for God to hear us. He still wants to hear from us. Even if we have struggled with sin all day, He still wants us to come to Him and spend time with Him. God doesn't base our prayer time on how good or not good we have been performing lately. We still need to confess sin, but He wants to spend time with us no matter what. Back in Romans 7, Paul asks, "Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Notice how Paul says, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" He doesn't say, "Yes, praise the Lord, I have been delivered from my body of death." That's because it hasn't happened yet. It hadn't happened yet for him at the time he wrote this, and it hasn't happened yet for us. Again, we still have to deal with the sin nature in our lives. We have not been freed from any effect whatsoever of dealing with the sin nature. We are not like Adam in the garden, where originally he didn't have the sin nature. Let's finish with a section of scripture from Galatians chapter 4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Anyone today can become a new creation in Jesus. Anyone can be adopted as God's son or daughter. By believing in what Jesus has accomplished on the cross on your behalf, the old can be gone for you, and you can have new life in Christ today. Go to God right now in prayer and tell Him you believe.
Thanks, Daniel. This is the Peace to Live By radio program featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To download and listen to complete messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. Again, that web address is peacetoliveby.org. To contact the ministry, you can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org. You can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/peacetoliveby and be sure to hit the like button. Feel free to reach out and send us your comments. These messages are encouraging for us. For Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry, Powell, Ohio.